Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 8, text attaining the supreme, text number 5. Antakale tamameva smaran bhaktva kalevaram yat priyati samadbhavam yasti yati nasyatra samshayaha. Andakale, at the end of life. Cha, also. Mam, me. Eva, certainly. Smaran, remembering. Muktva, quitting. Kalevaram, the body. Ya, he who. Priyati, goes. Saha, he. Madbhavam, my nature. Yati, achieves. Na, not. Asti, there is. Yatra, here. Samshayaha, doubt. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible. The impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, tarar apis sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So at the end of one's life, one will have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Antakale tamamevam smaran muktva kalevaram yat priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshayaha. And whoever at the end of life quits his body remembering me alone, once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. As King Kulakshetra prays, Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam, that let the swan of my mind enter into the stem of your lotus feet. Krishna Twidya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Vishitu Manasa Hangsa. Because at the end of my life, my throat may become choked up and Vata Pitta and Kapha may become disturbed, and therefore I may not be able to remember you with rapt attention. So in other words, our purpose is to come to the platform where we're so much absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the material energy doesn't disturb us anymore. Then we become eligible to at least join with Krishna's pastimes in one of his leelas in some universe. Other than that, we're simply trying to practice so that when we do chant Hare Krishna, then we can spontaneously, first of all, remember Krishna's name. Remembering Krishna's name means we're actually hearing Krishna's name. We can chant Hare Krishna, as we all know, and not even realize we're doing it. Or not even remembering who we're chanting to. So to remember that Krishna and his name are non-different, that we're actually chanting to Krishna, that's the first step. That's called clearing. There are three different stages of chanting. One is called Nama Parad, the other is called Nama Bas, and the third is called, begins with Shuddha Nam. And then there's Bhava Nam and Prema Nam. In any case, Nama Parad is we're chanting, but we're not even conscious of the fact that what we're doing. We're unconscious. Of course, we're already unconscious, but we should try to become conscious when we're chanting Hare Krishna of what we're doing. So Nama Parad is that we're actually chanting. Nama Bas is that we're actually chanting to Krishna. In other words, we actually have the intention of becoming conscious of Krishna when we're chanting. Maya will always tell us that, oh, it's the same old thing. We did it yesterday, we're doing it today. I'll do it tomorrow. It's the same old 16 rounds or whatever we're chanting. And the same effect is there. Our minds go throughout the universe and we're counting the rounds down until we're finally finished with this horrible task of trying to chant japa, being tortured for 2 hours or so. Why is everyone smiling? So our first business is to actually chant to Srimati Radharani and Krishna as if they're actually persons, as if they're actually there. It's not just some ordinary sound vibration, like a parrot chanting, Paliwana cracker, Paliwana cracker, Paliwana cracker. You heard that before? Pali is the name of the parrot, and he's chanting, I want a cracker, I want a cracker. Now, Nama Bas means that at least we know we're conscious of who we're chanting to, and we have some desire to actually come to the platform of experiencing Krishna in his name. The sign of Nishta, according to Shubhaktivinoda Thakur, is that when we chant Hare Krishna, then spontaneously remember Krishna's form. Now, remembering Krishna's form is just like, at least there's some heat and light. If we don't remember Krishna's form, there's no really heat and light. There may be. Sometimes we can chant Hare Krishna and feel Krishna's presence, even in his name. But generally speaking, relationships are with people, and people have forms. Without Krishna having a form, it's very hard to relate to him. In the Bible, I think it says in some place, well, I know it says, that when Moses went up to the mountain, he saw God in the form of a cloud. Now, I'm not averse to clouds, but I never thought of having a relationship with one. Or a burning bush. I mean, a burning bush is nice, especially if you're cold. But I never wanted to develop love for a burning bush, unless it was really cold. What we need is to develop a relationship with Krishna in terms of positive relationship. We have to remember what Krishna looks like. For that reason, deity worship is essential, especially for the neophyte devotees who, when they're chanting Hare Krishna, don't remember spontaneously Krishna's form. Now, why don't we remember Krishna's form? Because our intelligence keeps on being taken away by illusion. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. If we contemplate the objects of the senses, then we develop attachment, then lust, then anger, then delusion, then forgetfulness, then our memory is bewildered, our intelligence is lost, and we're in material consciousness. So the reason why we don't remember Krishna's form is because we're in material consciousness. Even when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's mixed. There's some possibility or an opportunity to remember Krishna, but generally speaking, we're distracted by other things. And believe it or not, which I find hard to believe myself sometimes, but anything besides remembering Krishna is considered to be Maya. But we think, well, there's good Maya and then there's bad Maya. We're in good Maya. So we don't have to worry so much. But it's still Maya. Still illusion, because if we don't remember Krishna, then we're imagining something that's not, and that's called illusion, Maya. So the first sign is that we're actually trying to get out of Maya into chanting in such a way, as Prabhupada once wrote to me, that spontaneously we remember Krishna. As I said before, I'm sorry, what are you doing? It's all right, don't worry. Thank you for the help. I asked Prabhupada if it was all right if I try to remember Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Because after all, it's much more interesting to remember Krishna's pastimes than just go schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, day, day. Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, ram, 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 schnick, schnick, ram, ram. Ram, hey, ram, 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 ram. It's much more interesting than listening to ourselves droning away, complaining, oh, Krishna, why? Why me? Why do I have to do this? Chanting all these rounds, so much time, so many other things to do. So I thought I'd probably be very happy to hear that I'm remembering Krishna's pastimes when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. So I wrote him a letter, asked him, and he wrote me back, to my surprise, that no, he said, we should not try to remember Krishna's pastimes when we're chanting the names. We should just chant and listen. And if Krishna's remembrance becomes spontaneously, that's very nice, but not that we're artificially trying to remember. In other words, there's not two different things. One is thinking about Krishna, and the other is chanting. The chanting is like a nice background. It's like the music we do. Sometimes we're doing some service. We have some music in the back so we feel good while we're doing the service. Of course, there's one devotee, I asked another devotee one time before I wrote to Prabhupada, I said, is it all right if I remember Krishna's pastimes? He said, well, it's probably better than remembering other things. But no, actually we were trying to, because Kamsa was also remembering Krishna, but it wasn't in devotion. So if we're chanting Hare Krishna and Krishna is personally present and we're trying to remember his pastimes and we're neglecting Krishna's presence, that's called offensive. And we won't really very deeply enter into the mystery of Krishna's understanding. It's almost like if Krishna had walked into the room and with Srimati Radharani, and we look at our japa beads and say, sorry Krishna, I still have a few rounds left. Maybe you can just wait at the door, and maybe after I'm done with my rounds, I can serve you. Now, if Krishna is personally present, then we should pay attention to him. Otherwise, why ask him to come? If you ask the president of Slovenia to come to the prime minister of Slovenia, is the prime minister here? It's both. But the prime minister is the powerful one. So we asked the Prime Minister to come visit the temple here in Slovenia. And he comes and he says, here I am. And we say, well, thank you for coming. You know, maybe you can just wait outside for a while. We got a few other things to do in the meantime. No, you have to pay full attention if someone important comes. So if Krishna and Srimati Radharani come, then we should pay some attention to them. And then if they want, they'll help us remember their form. Then they'll clarify things for us. Didami buddhi yogam tam. If we chant attentively and enthusiastically, then they'll give us the intelligence by which we can gradually remember their form. And if we, and then their quality and their associates, eventually their pastimes. And then Krishna says, when we're actually chanting very sincerely, which means we're actually chanting in the mood of a child calling for its mother. Not that, thanks a lot, Krishna, for coming. I knew I deserved it, you know. I'm such a good devotee. I knew you would come, but, you know, I'm just unhappy you came a little late. You should have come long ago. I don't know what kept you. No. One should actually chant in such a way as like a child calling for his mother. And if the mother comes, then the child is very happy. And if the mother doesn't come, then what can the child do? So it's all up to Krishna, whether or not he reveals himself to us. We can't force him. He's God. He wants to reveal himself to us, but he wants us to be in the proper mood. If we're thinking that we're all deserving, then we're in a completely, you know, Krishna, we demand that Krishna come. As Prabhupada wrote more or less in one letter, when someone asked him, can I demand to see Krishna? And Prabhupada wrote back to the devotee, he said, how could I demand to see Krishna? If I examine my qualifications to see Krishna, I'll find out that I have no qualifications. All I have is disqualifications. But my spiritual master, he's dragging me home. So unless we take that attitude, that actually it's up to Krishna to reveal himself to us, either in the form of the deity, in the form of his books, in the form of Prabhupada's deity, in the form of his instructions, in so many different ways that Krishna can reveal himself to us, unless we take the attitude that by their mercy and by developing a humble service attitude, that they may be kind enough to reveal themselves to me, then we may have to wait a long, long time unless we develop that humble attitude displayed by practical service. And ultimately, by develop that practical service will help us also develop a practical service attitude. Service attitude means that we should understand that we're completely dependent upon Krishna and Krishna's devotees in disciplic succession, so that we can develop the proper attitude and approach Krishna as a servant of Krishna's servants, not as some important personality that everyone in the spiritual world is just waiting to come back. They're all holding their breath until we finally make it back. All the pastimes are on hold until we get there. Oh, with such an attitude, we might be here for a longer time than we hope for. In any case, as it says here, without becoming fully conscious of Krishna, we can't expect to go back to the spiritual world. It's just not reasonable. We wouldn't have anything to do there. Therefore, we shouldn't resent our sadhana bhakti. That, why do I have to go through all this? You know, why doesn't Krishna reveal himself to me? And then it would be a lot easier. No, we shouldn't resent our sadhana bhakti. We should take it as an opportunity to make some advancement. Because that's the only way we're going to, unless there's some extraordinary circumstance. Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes one may, by some causeless mercy, be elevated in Krishna consciousness. And that means even elevated to a small degree. But, generally speaking, just like if you want to get a PhD, a degree in a university, you have to go to the university and practice and study and take the test and pass. If you sit at home hoping to get an ordinary degree, because sometimes the universities hand out honorary degrees, you may have to wait a long time because they don't hand them out to everyone. The more practical thing is to go to the university and go through the program, and then you may graduate. So this sadhana bhakti, we're very fortunate to have an opportunity to participate in it because it's the method of elevating our consciousness, the Krishna consciousness, and pure devotional service. And unless we take it seriously, not that it's like an election. Well, it's one of the, just like if you go to college and you sign up for so many credits in a semester and you decide, well, if I want to go, I'll go. If I don't want to go, I won't go. It's an elective course. And so you only attend class sometimes, you only write some papers, you only do your homework sometimes, and you then you get an F on your grade. You're surprised. But you don't do the work, that's what you get. You get what you pay for. So unless we take at least the sadhana bhakti seriously, and eventually the participation spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which is our service, then we can't expect to advance. We may in devotional service and pure Krishna consciousness. It takes practice, suitable practice, and at the same time we have to give up the things that are holding us back from actually, our anarthas, from actually becoming conscious of Krishna. So there's an opportunity to practice, so that one day Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Vishoshiti Nakangshiti, Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhvatim Levate Param. We can take Krishna consciousness seriously, give up our hankerings and our lamentations, treat all the living entities as Krishna's eternal servant and us as their servants. Then we can actually begin real devotional service and find out what Krishna consciousness is actually all about. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. You're mentioning a lot of times that we should see the results of our activities. And japa is also one of the activities. Can we see our results properly if we are in ignorance and passion, or how to see a result properly?
Well, if you're in ignorance and passion, that will be your result. You'll be in ignorance and passion. That's what it says in Bhagavad Gita. If you act in ignorance and passion, the result is you'll get more ignorance and passion. So how to see the result? You have to get out of ignorance and passion. We all have to chant Hare Krishna and then chant clearly using our tongue and lips and teeth, and chant Hare Krishna clearly, and try to chant Hare Krishna as just like a child calling for its mother, and not become distracted by these unnecessary thoughts. Then that's chanting goodness at least. Then there's some progress.
But at the moment for me it seems like that I will make a show out of everything.
Well, better make a show of that than making a show of being an illusion. I mean, no one's going to give you a reward because you're sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, walking around chanting Hare Krishna, you're finally paying attention. The demigods from heaven will shower flowers on you. What kind of reward are you expecting? Everyone's going to notice, look, oh, he became effulgent, I can't believe it. He's chanting japa so nicely. Don't worry, people won't put your name on the Facebook. Today Bhakti Alexander was ecstatic and he was chanting, he finally paid attention. What can you expect? What are you afraid of? People will notice you. Look how nicely he's chanting. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that I will not be noticed by Krishna.
Well, you're certainly not going to be noted by Krishna. Being ignorance of passion, Maya notes you quite strongly. Yeah. But if you want to be noted by Krishna, then you have to call out to Krishna, Srimati Radharani. Otherwise, why will they know you? If you're not asking them to help you, why should they pay any attention to you?
So then I should also do some prayers before I start to chant.
Well, the chanting is a prayer. But should you do prayers before you start to chant? In itself is a prayer. And now we're chanting the Guru Vastika, the Shikshastika prayers every day. So that's enough of a prayer. Trying to understand what the Shikshastika means. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for lecture. I read in Bhagavad Gita that we should try to remember Krishna in his original form. So can I ask you which one is the original form?
Holding a if you read Bhagavad Gita, the same thing where it says that, as a bluish boy, color like a cloud, Mother Sun and Mother Jasoda holding a flute with a peacock feather in his hair. That boy. That's right. In fact, if you want to see him, he's right there.
Thank you.
He's smiling that you finally found out who he was.
Hare Krishna. Can you give us practical tips how to get out of this mechanical practice of sadhana, chanting especially? How to break that routine, which usually is like an autopilot after sometimes in the beginning everything is like, you know, fresh, and then sometimes many times we find ourselves in that mechanical, ritualistic practice. How to break through?
Well, don't expect. Before you chant japa, if you expect it's going to be the same thing it was yesterday, you know, and you don't want Krishna to disappoint you and find out something new about japa. So the first thing to do is to think that there could be a different way of doing it. And today I'm actually going to chant as if Krishna and Srimati Radharani are actually there. And I'm going to call out to them happily, lovingly. A child is not calling out to them out of love, not out of moroseness, but out of love. I'm going to call out to them and listen to myself chanting. And if I'm not chanting in that mood, I'll try to chant the best I can in that mood and try to pay attention. When my mind wanders to other things, then I just ignore it or I bring it back and I try to keep on trying to chant as nicely as I can. And then Krishna will give us the intelligence, so he'll encourage us to chant better. So we make an effort in that direction and Krishna will help. And we should expect Krishna's help. Ashabanda Smudkanda Namagana Siddharuchi. We should expect, we should be eager, and we should anticipate Krishna to help us if we try to do things better.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.